This is Six of Crows, Dota AU. We need an actual title. More than just that. A Not Fic by Opalsong.
And Akitjevna.
This is part Not Fic, part Chat Fic, depending on how much we actually chat about it at the end. But yeah. Putting the Six of Crows / Dota AU here for remembering. Matthias is safe lane hard carry. Jesper is top lane. Nina is probs possibly four. And I'm thinking Inej is mid and Kaz is five, but I could see those being swapped.
Kaz is greedy support, honestly. I need him as greedy support. Also, heckin' team captain. What a team captain.
Lol, Kaz as captain. Imagine this raspy voice 17-year-old giving world-weary interviews. Also, yes, now I see. Greedy support. And Nina is 1,000% five. Inej is mid. She is the person Kaz relies on. Standing firm on Matthias as hard carry. And Jesper as top lane. I could see him and Inej swapped, but I don't wanna. Wyland is their alternate, which I'm actually surprised isn't a thing in real pro Dota 2. / their manager. Much to the dismay of his Fortune 500 father who thinks this gaming thing is a load of BS. Wyland finds it hard to play because of severe dyslexia. Kaz plays in gloves. He, weirdly for a captain, sits on the end of the row and is always on the end in pictures. Inej is the person beside him.
Oh, God. Kaz having to give captain's interviews. Kaz Brekker is the most pissed off, sweet-talking, smooth operator there ever was. And he looks like he's done with everything while talking you out of your socks and leaving you feeling like you just had the interview of a lifetime when he really didn't give you barely anything. Yes, Nina! Of course Inej is mid. She's his heavy hitter in mid, his sneaky mid spider. Yes, Matthias is hard carry. They couldn't do it without him. Jesper chilling in the top lane, like, sorry.
This is such a great...
Oh. Jesper chilling up in top lane, like, yo, Matthias, send some of them my way for what? Kaz ain't here for photos. He's a mess.
Lol, Jesper.
Interviews are over too quick because he's just like, no.
Running joke, Jesper is so hungry.
Also, little photographic or video evidence of his existence as possible.
Always hungry.
While playing professional esports. Jess is always hungry for kills.
Media day is hell for him.
But man, when Jess does get them, ooh, it's whoa.
I feel like Nina, Jesper, and Wyland give most of the interviews. Traditional? No. Does it work for them? Yes. Viral meme about Jesper being both hungry and thirsty after a couple of interviews where he flirts with anything that moves.
Matthias is silent and stoic and deadly hard carry. But also, Nina can get him worked up into an absolute strop like no one else can. They will bicker like a married couple.
OMG! Interviews with them! Matthias is the stereotypical Nordic player. One word answers, no excitement. Until Nina. One comment of, that IO play wasn't very sexy. You need to let Kaz feed Jesper more. He can't hand feed you all the time. And I want to play with Inej sometimes. And Matthias loses it.
Matthias Helva. Oh god, the compilations of him losing it. Matthias Helva. Dot, dot, dot. Matthias Helva with Nina Zenick. I can't believe you, Nina. You're a menace. You can't just say that you're...
Lol, 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 lol. Nina flirts with everything that moves. Matthias splutters in disbelief and shock. Imagine Nina and Jesper doing a media segment. So much flirting. Not so much with each other, but wow, everybody else.
Literally so much flirting. These two are flirt central.
Can you imagine the international? Casey? And Slacks. And just every awkward interview. But seriously, watching them play is a thing of beauty.
Oh dear god, those interviews.
Watching that entire team. Kaz constantly chill, always with another plan. Being Dota, they can't win all the time, but when they lose, Kaz just comes back harder. Inej being like, where the fuck is Inej? Why is she there? But she's reading Kaz's mind and setting up a nutso strategy. Jesper just sitting there, ignored most of the time. People joke that he is the sacrifice, the pawn, but then he finally gets his farm and dead. Everything. Matthias is the rock solid carry. He doesn't seem like anything special. No flashy plays, no weird hero picks, but he just gets the job done. And Nina. Nina, who's an amazing support. Everything, everywhere, and has eyes on everything. And then, in, like, the upper bracket finals at TI, everything seems doomed. They're gonna lose, and they pick something like Broodmother for Nina, and everyone is like, WTF the draft, fuck? Only then, everybody kind of ignores her, because what the fuck, really? And then she comes out of nowhere and murders everyone. Or just, like, the Ancient. Their team name is The Dregs. Heh. And I kind of want them to be a South American team because of the vibe from there would fit them. But at the same time, I don't know enough about South American culture to be super comfy making characters from there. OMG, Matthias was drafted into the team because he and Nina dated in the past. They had a super messy breakup, but she was the one to go, if you want to carry, we need him. I have feelings about this that we'll talk about at the end.
Okay.
Nowadays, no one actually knows if they are together or not together.
Yes to the team name. Heck yes. Well, that's one of the things about SOC. Is there an equivalent of European except Jess and Kuwait and Inej? Ravka equals Russia slash the Baltics. Fjoda equals the Nordic regions. And Kerch is, well, Caterdam is Amsterdam, basically. The Wandering Isle is literally Ireland. And the Shuhan is a conglomeration of a few nationalities, mostly Asia. But there are a lot of subsets such as the Suli.
Interesting. I just meant that apparently the South American Dota scene is just getting started and is a little feral. Which, having them come from nothing, an area of the world with no real infrastructure, no sponsors, and be a little feral? Yes!
Yeah, that works.
I think we should talk a little more, expand a little bit on this. And one of the things that I want to talk about is nationalities and how I am totally fine with, like, fucking with their actual nationalities.
Uh-huh.
Like, where, like, the Six of Crows people would be, because that's a, not necessarily a small portion of the world, but just not everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And also, so my source for all of my knowledge about the South American Dota scene is all from my brother, who is not in the South American Dota scene, because we don't live in South America. So take it with a massive pile of salt. Please do.
Okay.
But also, in talking to my brother a little more after writing this, I realized that also they could be a North American team, because North America also has, like, less sort of infrastructure and whatever. Like, we have less over here than, say, Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when it comes to Dota.
Yeah, like Europe and China and all of that. Like, there's much less in North America, and North American teams tend to not do very well-ish. So, like, we could totally make them North American, which would be easy for me because I am North American. So, like, that would be easy. We could also make them an Australian team, but I think that would give us less.
Especially with Dota, it definitely would. Most Australian Dota players end up going internationally just purely because the draft isn't there for an Aussie team.
Yeah, so I think maybe, like, going Australian would be hilarious.
It would be.
Because, again, like, because just,
I'm just feral picturing
children out of nowhere.
Honestly, I'm also just picturing the Six of Crows as Australians, and it's just fucking hilarious to me. Because I know exactly where all of them would be from.
Like, so what I'm thinking is, like, they're still from, like, they're still an international team, and that they're still from all over.
Oh, yeah.
Because teams can be, like, a North American team.
Oh, yeah,
or
exactly.
A European team or whatever, and have people from other places. But I think we could easily make Kaz, like, from the U.S.
Yeah.
Like, super easily. He could just be from the U.S.
See, I was thinking that, but then the other thing as well is, with his name, Kaz is such an Australian name that I can't even. I'm sorry, but we just got, you know, Captain Kazza. I just can't.
So, like, I mean, that could be the thing. The thing is, I think we need at least two players from the U.S.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing about my personal Nina headcanon.
Yeah.
About what she looks like, which I'm aware that if Ravka is supposed to be Russian, that this is not at all, because she's probably, like, very Russian looking. In my head, she looks kind of like Latina.
No, that could, like, work easy with Nina.
Like she seriously looks somewhere between Latina and Polynesian. Like, mm-hmm. That is how she looks in my head. So I'm thinking we need two characters from the U.S. to, like, mm-hmm. make them a U.S. team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Nina can be one of those.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, Latina American.
Yeah.
Which would be really neat.
I think the other one that would make sense being, well, he can either have him as U.S. or European, either way, is Wylan, purely because 4,500.
Yeah, except I was just thinking the exact same thing, except that he's not actually on the team. Like, he's not a player.
Oh, yeah, true.
Because, yeah, he can be American. I mean, Jesper.
Yeah,
Jesper is African-American.
Yeah.
Like, just straight up.
That boy.
Like, because Inej is, I don't know what her nationality would be, but mm-hmm. she's Romani. Yeah. Is what I think the
equivalency. I think it's Suli is technically kind of meant to be a mix between Romani and some vague assuasions towards the people of India. It just depends.
Yeah, I would feel comfortable with making her sort of real world equivalent be a person of Romani. Mm-hmm. Descent.
Totally fair to me. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. Maybe she's half that and half Indian.
Who knows?
She Inej could also Inej. Be... Here's the thing. Inej could also be an American citizen.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, so there we have three of the team from the U.S. Even though none of them are white.
Yes.
And then we have Matthias... who is 1,000%
Nordic,
like, so from one of the, like, Nordic European countries.
Yeah.
Like, he is just one of those players.
Yeah. He's absolutely, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yep.
Just big, beefy Swede.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Big beefy Swede with amazing hair.
Yes.
Also, God, who's next?
Well, is Kaz and Kaz. Next? Yeah, and Kaz is Australian.
Okay, because I have so many comments. because Kaz as Australian just makes so much sense. Because tell me that Kaz Brekker doesn't sound like an Australian name. Tell me it doesn't.
I can't, because I don't know Australian names. I'm sorry.
Oh, God. It makes so much sense to me. Also, Kaz as this palish shit little scrapper student who probably built his own computer. Just an absolute shit. With his hair is a train wreck, but nobody would ever mention it to him. And wears all black... is an absolute badass, comes out of absolutely nowhere, and
he builds this team.
Yeah,
because like I'm feeling that like Kaz Brekker has this vision for Dota. He's gonna take TI, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And so he looks through like all of these people on public games and just like picks who he wants, like he builds relationships with them before he invites them, but like,
well, as much as Kaz Brekker can build relationships,
well, yeah, it doesn't have to be like touchy-feely, but like they know him and he knows them.
Yes.
Most of them. He doesn't know Matthias, I don't think. He knows of Matthias, but he's never actually interacted with the guy. And now that I've finished the duology, I have feelings about Nina and Matthias and what mm-hmm. happens. Mm-hmm. And how they get together. But like,
oh, I know.
So yep. Kaz Brekker just like, he decides he wants to win TI, and he knows that as an American team, they will have a little bit more, like, support.
Yeah.
Than an Australian team. Like, there's just nothing there for an Australian team.
There really
isn't. And he's the only Australian, which sort of invalidates it. Yeah.
Like, I mean, the draft is there. Like, the players are there, but the actual support structure just isn't there. The infrastructure isn't there.
Yeah, so I just, like... envision him like just moving whole scale to the US with his janky home-built computer.
Absolutely.
And just like he has like all of the plans about where to go. The rest of his team that he has assembled and been like, show up in the New York airport at this time, and they're like, the fuck, okay, I guess. And somehow, between all of them, they have assembled sponsors. Like, at least one.
Yeah.
And, like one, like, weirdly major sponsor because they're nobodies.
The White Rose. Nina.
And, like, just, or, like, he has this, like, rich guy that he's been, like, doing favors with or something. Like,
yep.
That later shit goes down with.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, like, I mean, if you wanted to introduce Weiland, like, Kaz has got some rich kid in his pocket.
Well, I was thinking, the Per Heskel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Basically, fair. like his foster dad is kind of, like, bankrolling this with some, like, company that basically Kaz has built up for him.
Yeah. Because, you know, in between becoming a professional Dota player, Kaz happens to hold down, you know, both eating and sleeping and actually, you know, functioning as a human being.
I feel like that last one is not. Kaz doesn't hold that up.
He functions, but he's not a human being.
He like, kind of eats and kind of sleeps. He doesn't really sleep. And he is a pro Dota player because that's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And,
Everything else is just necessary.
Well, and Per Heskel is, like, I feel like he runs, like, some sort of, like, I don't know in the U.S. if, I mean, in Australia, whether, like there could be, like, a kind of video game or arcade or something. Oh, yeah, like,
we've
that. Got
those. Like, we
like,
have those.
That's not, but, like, on like, a big scale, like, yeah. Where, like, Kaz has helped him take this, like, small, janky, rundown arcade or, like, internet cafe or something and build it into, like...
A business.
A multi-city chain.
Like a business empire. The Crow Club.
Yeah. Exactly. It's called the Crow Club. Like, all of them are various Crow Clubs.
Which also makes so much sense because the fucking crows in this country.
And then, you know, like, but he's also, like, built himself in, like, yeah, basically Per Heskel is there because he hasn't kicked him out yet.
Yeah.
Well, and which is fair because Per Heskel has done nothing except, like, kind of provide the seed money, kind of, and, mm-hmm. and the original, like, structure. Anyway, he's done nothing. He's not even, like, a shareholder, like, making that much of stuff. Like, he's just kind of there to sit back and say, I'm the CEO, or I'm the owner. And it's like, your CEO is a 17-year-old, like,
genius.
Trash fire.
Yeah, he's a trash fire genius.
you say genius, I say trash fire. Oh. So
but
anyway,
also,
and
both
he,
are correct.
Both are true. And he uses the money from that to bankroll them. So, like, the Crow Club is their sponsor. And I feel like they could also have a sponsor in the White Rose, which is, like, a porn company.
Oh. Honestly?
But, like, a classy porn company.
Yeah,
and one
because,
that, like,
you know.
does other stuff as well. So, like, is willing to sponsor, like, a video game, whatever.
Yeah, like, I mean, they have a clothing team. They have a clothing line. That's how they support all the merch and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, White Rose is, like, yeah, White Rose has, like, a fashion line, but they're also definitely a porn company. or maybe they're a lingerie. Oh, that could do it. They're a lingerie company. Like, scantily clad lingerie company.
Yeah.
And Nina is a model.
That works. That works so well.
And she helps get them the White Rose. Because I feel like it's... Yeah.
Also, added to this, ways to infuriate Matthias. ways for Kaz to be generally disgusted by people. And ways for Jesper to just be like, ooh.
Yeah. All of these are checked off.
Yeah.
Okay. So then they all get there and they do, like, just on Kaz Brekker's word. Because at one point he's like, yeah, you're in my team. We're going to go to TI this year and we're going to win. And everybody's like, what the fuck? We've never played together.
But Inez is just like, nope, you trust Kaz.
And they do, and they just all show up there, like, bam. And then Kaz Brekker gets them on a plane to, I don't know, somewhere in the States.
Mysterious
undisclosed location. And then they just play Dota. And I feel like Weiland is definitely their manager / coach.
Yeah.
Like, he does a lot of the manager stuff, but he also does a lot of, like, coaching. Mm-hmm. Which isn't super, like, what he does in the books. But, like, I want him involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing about, like, Weiland in the books is that, like, he actually has, like, a lot to contribute, and he grows over time as he gets into it. So I think he could start off not being as involved, and he kind of grows in his knowledge, and he does research. My gosh. And, like, he's that person, and he gets better. And
I have the thought. So going back to Kaz Brekker needs to bankroll this thing.
Yeah.
He does, in fact, kidnap Weiland.
Of fucking course he does, please.
Only, like, Weiland wants to be kidnapped. Like, Weiland is like, I'll be your manager. And Kaz Brekker is like, done. Because they played Dota together. And yeah. Weiland, as we've said, has, like, low, like, he finds it really hard to play Dota because he can't read. Because he has debilitating dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
And so he can't read any of the stuff that's on the screen, and he can get better at playing Dota as they play with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, he starts to learn just, like, where stuff is, so he doesn't have to read it, he just has to recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more pattern recognition than actually reading. It's like, yeah. I know I want this item, even though, like, I can't read what it's called. I can, you know, look at pictures. I know where it is on the list, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and, like, and I know what it does, obviously, so.
Yeah, exactly. But he's like, yes, I want to be part of this. I really believe in you. I want to play Dota. I'm really good with numbers. Like, let me be your, like, accountant, manager, person. I'm really good with, like, schedules and all of that sort of stuff. Like, all of the, like, management part of the thing, with which Kaz is also good at, but also,
oh yeah,
but he has Kaz a lot on, like, his plate right now.
If he can delegate, he will.
Yeah. And so he's like, let me do this for you, P.S. I really want away from my dad. And Kaz is like, great, I'm kidnapping you. And Weiland is like, what? I thought I was running away. And Kaz is like, oh no, your dad's gonna bankroll us because he wants you back.
Yeah, she's like, oh yeah, so I'm going to kidnap you, we're going to leave the country and go to an undisclosed location, and you're going to bankroll me.
Oh no, I'm thinking Weiland is from the States. Like,
oh, okay.
Possibly, like, they set up in the same town, so, like, Weiland can go visit his mom.
Aww.
Or, like, they said, okay, so Weiland's mom obviously lives in a different town, because messy mm-hmm. divorce. And so they set up in Weiland's mom's town so he can, like, visit her.
Like, Kaz.
Aww. Yep, because Kaz Brekker has a heart.
No, what are you talking about? He doesn't have a heart. What are you talking about?
No.
Deep within the recesses of his cold black chest, there's a tiny little quiver of a heartbeat.
Yeah, no, his heart is, it's definitely there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the kind of thing that he does, and... But at the same time, they get bankrolled, kind of, by it. So Weiland starts out as kind of a Kaz has apparently kidnapped you to bankroll his gaming addiction. And, okay, I guess we'll put you to work. Only then he's really good at management and not a half bad Dota player.
I love that.
Yeah. I think, actually, you know who I want to be their coach?
Mm.
Kaz finds this, like, Chinese kid.
Fucking Kuei! Can you please? Okay, Kuei is one of my favorite characters. I haven't had the chance to talk about him much, but I love him. I love him. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so
he's
I think so I think maybe Kuei, like, Kaz finds this, like, Chinese kid whose dad was, like, hella into, like, something. Probably not Dota, but, like, one of the games that was really popular before Dota.
Mm-hmm.
Like, StarCraft or whatever. Like, and was really, really good. And, like, his dad had been coaching, but then something happened to his dad, and now the kid needed to kind of be on the run. And Kaz is like, yeah, guess what? We need a coach. You're ours now.
Kaz Brekka just claiming kids, like, left, right, and center. Can he not?
And, and the hilarious thing is that, like, lots of people want Kuei to be on their team. And I feel like in this universe, Kuei doesn't want to play Dota.
No.
Like, he doesn't want to actively play. Like, he's really into it, and he's very good at it. Like, genius prodigy levels of good at it. So all of the, like, the whole Chinese machine really, really, really wants him playing for them. And he's like, I don't want to play. I want to, like, paint. Or, like, I don't know.
Like, something completely innocuous. It's, like, nothing to do with
anything. Yeah. Or, like, I want to do science. Or something like that.
Yeah, he wants to do science.
I want to do science. And Kaz is like, guess what? Come here. Coach us. You don't have to play. Coach us. And also, I will get you into an American university. And you can do science while you coach us. Like, you can get a university degree while you coach us, even though you're literally 14.
Yeah, literally.
And so that's the thing. They live in the town where Weiland's mother is, which happens to be a university town.
Yeah.
So they have Kuei, like, also there questionably legally because Kaz Brekker and Inej.
Oh, yeah.
Like, question marks, but there. And he's, you know, getting a degree.
Oh, yeah. God, I love them so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And, okay, so Kaz knows, like, he meets Inej pretty early on when he starts playing Dota.
Mm-hmm.
The less we say about
where she comes from, the better.
I was going to say the less we say about his chunk of time playing Dota with his brother, the better.
Oh, yeah. don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. You know who my favorite character is.
But that's all we're going to say about it, is that it happened, and then it doesn't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, Inej plays high stealth heroes. She's super, super great at stealth. Just generally, but then as well, she just plays those characters to a T.
Yes. And she and Kaz have been playing together for, like, literally years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, since they were kind of kids, both playing, like, really public matches, and just they play together, and then they play together more, and then they just always play together, because Kaz has no sleep schedule, and neither does Inej.
Kaz, like, doesn't sleep? What are you talking about?
Neither of them sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the less said about Inej's, like, storied history about how she came to be an American citizen, also the better. And then Kaz knows Nina, just cuz. He just sort of picks her out and goes, "You're amazing. Like, I want to be, like, you're a really awesome five to my four, basically. Like, we will work together very well." And Nina is like, okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that's, and then they become friends, and she becomes friends with Inej. And they work really well together that way. She doesn't play with them all the time, because I don't think she has the time to commit to playing Dota all the time until Kaz puts the call out, because she's got a day job. And her day job is lingerie model.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is 19. And also Kaz knows Jesper, just because, again, they're playing public games together. And he's like, "I like this guy." And Jesper, like, plays with Kaz a couple of times. And he's like, "I like this guy. We're going to be friends." And Kaz is like, "What?" And Jesper's like, "We're going to be friends."
Honestly.
And Inej is like, "Yeah, you guys should be friends." And Kaz is like, "What is this? I don't know what this is."
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Matthias.
Matthias, who, by the way, I'm compiling a list right now of heroes that they have to play, so you keep going.
Okay. So my thing about Matthias and Nina is that I feel like they used to play together. They never dated, but they used to, like, somehow they were on absolute opposite sides of, like, something. Maybe it was, like, near the first TI, and they actually met in a forum because they cheered for opposing teams and just ended up, like, screaming at each other.
Mm-hmm.
But then they ended up having to play on the same team, like, a lot of times in a row. Like, it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, for some reason they were forced to play together. Oh, no. Okay. I take it back.
What?
So they, like, I like the thing about them, like, being on opposite, like, fans of opposite teams, and they were just, like, bitter rivals type deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nina, but they knew each other is the thing. Like, they were in the same circles. And Nina actually ended up in wherever it was that hosted the first TI.
Mm-hmm.
I forget when. Anyway, and she wasn't actually, I think it was a European country. And Matthias is there because he has tickets. And Nina is there because she's not actually working for White Rose yet, because she's too young at that point. Like, quite a bit too young, but she ends up in the same place. And so they're bitter rivals. They actually have met each other. And then because they were, like, there in person, they were, like, forced to play on the same team together, just at, like, a random, like, okay, all these people are together, we're gonna play, you know, games with these people together, that sort of thing. I have no idea whether that happens in Dota. But something, anyway, they're forced to play together on the same team. And they're actually, like, physically in the same room together for, like, quite a while. Or they're forced to, like, share a cab or something. Anyway, they've played together before. Only then it went, like, really badly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Matthias was trying to form a team at that point. Like, they'd both be fairly young, but Matthias was, like, trying to form a team. And, like, he had Nina as his five, and he had told all of his friends, like, "Nah, she's cool. Like, this is, you know, we're good. Like, we've got a five." And then at the last minute, you know, she's not from there, and she's not dropping her entire life to play Dota at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And she leaves. Like, she goes back home. And maybe this isn't TI-1. Maybe it's in the U.S. Like, it's in one of the U.S. places where it was. But, like, the same sort of, like, just maybe it wasn't quite that many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, she leaves to go home. And just, like, is like, I have to go back to university. And she never promised to be there 5. Like, that's the thing. She never actually gave her word.
Mm-hmm.
But she left him out in the cold.
Nina, no.
And he just, like, he'd put himself out there to do that. And I kind of wanted to be, like, a shitty situation. Like, she was kind of forced to do that by her family, I feel like.
Yeah.
Would be a good way to put it, is, like, they forced her to stop playing. Like, and like, completely stop playing for a little bit. And was just, they were just like, you can't. And then Matthias got, like, ostracized. Because they, like, his teammates just, like, couldn't get over that he put a girl before them.
Yeah.
And so Matthias also stopped playing Dota.
Mm.
Basically. Completely.
But then, Nina happens to meet Zoya. Which, Zoya being the unrelenting, absolute bitch that she is, was just like, why are you letting yourself be dictated by what your family want? Do what you want. Like, I thought you were good at that Dota thing anyway. Like, jeez. Like, Zoya's a professional gamer in, like, a different game.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like at that point, Nina just, like, says fuck off to her entire, like, family and goes and takes the job that, like, she'd been offered a job at some point at White Rose. And not in a skeezy way, but, like, in a good way. And if I didn't want her to be 19, if I was cool with her being, like, 21 or whatever, I would say this happens, that her thing with Matthias happens a couple years, like, about 3 years before, like, canon.
Mm-hmm.
And that she actually left because her parents forced her to get to go home, and then she said fuck off and took this job.
Mm-hmm.
Or she left because she got the job and is like, I can't stay. But I like her going home.
Yeah.
And being like totally no Dota for like a year, and then finally going fuck off and taking this job at a lingerie line.
Yeah.
And like as a lingerie model, and going back to Dota at the same time as sort of a fuck you to,
yeah, her family,
like everything that yeah,
love it.
Yeah. And then she meets Kaz Brekker while, you know, poking around the Dota scene again. And he mentions, like, and he says, I want you on a team. And she just has never gotten over the fact that she wasn't able to be there for Matthias. And she's like, I can't do it if you don't get Matthias for me and give him his team.
That works so well for me.
Yeah.
And as well, because Kaz is like, all right. It's like the most casual thing ever. Just, yeah, right.
And like, Matthias hasn't played Dota in 2 years. Like, at all. Hasn't played.
Matthias.
And Kaz is like, that's fine. We'll have a hard carry that hasn't played in 2 years.
Oh, no.
And then it works.
It works. Okay. I've been going through some heroes. The first thing that came into my head was Matthias needs to play anti-mage. because reasons?
Yeah. I will say, going back to the Nina Matthias thing, they meet in person again, and at first it's extremely fraught. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, like, when they're starting to do the, like, actual, like, Dota stuff, like tournaments and stuff, like, anytime you see them, like, on stage together, like, when they play, they're fine. They're, yeah, like, they play so well together. But, like, outside, like, it's, like, stone cold.
Oh, yeah.
And then, slowly, Nina starts, like, flirting with him hardcore. And she makes it, like, very, 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 like, she is not ashamed and does not try to hide the fact that she is a lingerie model. And just, yeah, like, Matthias has, like, the biggest crush on her. It's visible from space.
Mm-hmm.
And just slowly watching him, like, watching their, like, will they, won't they, is, mm-hmm, amazing. And nobody knows whether, like, because eventually, by the time T.I. rolls around, nobody knows if they're actually a couple or not.
Yeah. And somehow they manage to avoid the question every time.
Yeah, they never answer that question.
No. Because, I mean, Nina's too sneaky. And Matthias, if he doesn't want to answer a question, he just won't answer the question.
No, he'll just shrug.
Yeah.
And just not answer. Because... Mm-hmm. He's a big, burly Swede with flawless hair.
Flawless hair.
And just, like, but, like, he's literally that person that doesn't have an expression in interviews. And, like, he just won TI and they're like, how do you feel? And he's like, it's good.
And it's like, that's it.
Matthias!
Honestly, though, just cue Jesper in the background. Just two words. Two words. Oh my god, what a day. We have two words.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you, buddy. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay, all right. Heroes. Matthias. Obviously, we're looking at anti-mage because reasons. Other ones I was thinking, you're looking at, like, you know, Beastmaster and Lycan because wolves. You're looking at, I was also thinking Winter Wyvern because the whole thing with, you know.
Yeah, Winter.
Like Fyodor. I couldn't do Kaz without having him play like all the undead characters. I'm sorry. So
I have,
like,
a question.
Yep.
I don't know if Tiny works as a hard carry.
It does. It does.
But Matthias definitely mains,
yes,
Tiny a lot because sacred trees.
Yes. Oh, also Treant Protector as well.
Yeah.
That makes me happy. That makes me happy. Okay. And then, like, you got, like, Shadow Demon, and, like, Terrorblade for Kaz, Disruptor as well, and Vengeful Spirit. All Kaz's. Kaz's mains. wait for it. Inej has a lot of different ones, but she happens to, when Kaz is, like, super in need of, like, a heavy hitter, like, they will, she'll pick Wraith King.
Yes.
Because Wraith. But she's also, like, hardcore in with Depth Prophet. And, like, Enchantress. She's got a solid EO. But, I mean, but then as well, like, Drow Ranger, I think she could be really cool with.
Yeah, yeah.
Phantom Assassin. Like, full-on Shadow Fiend. And I think, as well, Jesper plays a hella good Ursa.
Yep.
And obviously, you know, Tinker and Sniper.
Yep.
Yeah. who else do I have for Weaver as well for Jesper. Dazzle, and I need him to play Dark Willow.
Just
purely because the sass that comes with that character. Who else did I have? Who have we got? Also, Matthias with Nature's Prophet.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, Nina.
She plays Phoenix, hey?
She does. And also, whenever she picks Phoenix, Kuei is kind of just like, Because Phoenix is Kuwei's main as well.
Ah, yes.
It's like whenever she picks Phoenix, Kuwei like is always like, oh, this stuff's about to go down. Like things are about to go down. But Nina also has like a Life Stealer. Is it bad of me to want to give her Queen of Pain?
No. No. I feel like in any like what are they called? Like just like fun matches or charity streams or like anything like that. She just plays like the sexy lady characters.
Honestly.
And
yeah.
And especially Queen of Pain. Like where she just like makes eyes at Matthias every time she like yep. Queen of Pain says anything. Yep. And Matthias is like, oh my gosh, stop.
Uh-huh. But then as well, like, she's also out here with, like, Legion Commander and, like, Sven, and she's super out here with, like, a Broodmother is an interesting pick. I loved that pick for her. It fits.
But, like, it fits as, like, I'm not, as far as I know, Brood isn't really support?
No.
Like, which is why, like, in that final game of TI, like, they just don't give her a support character.
Yeah.
And, like, they basically swap everything out. Mm-hmm. Like, I think maybe, oh.
The other thing I wanted to say just quickly while you're thinking of this is okay. The time that Nina plays Crystal Maiden, she just keeps batting her eyes at Matthias the entire time.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh, yes!
Yeah.
Yes. Seriously, her line about needing to buy more, like, frumpy woolen vests or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Was, like, the best line in the entire book. It's like Nina.
I love her so much.
Okay. I feel like she does an entire photo shoot where she's just wearing like hilariously like Nordic like
costumes.
Like just
yes.
like just like really like hilarious Nordic clothing. And she's like, Matthias, this is for you.
And it's all like super, super modest.
Yeah, it's all super modest.
And, like, Matthias is out here getting hot under the collar because, you know, he can't see her ankles.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so
he's
new.
He's like, shut up, it didn't work. And it's like the entire internet, it worked.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so yeah, they switch up everything?
So, yeah, so they don't switch up everything.
Matthias is like, still hard carry.
No.
No?
So, Matthias takes something like, I don't know, like Io or something. Something that he plays, but that is equally sort of good as a carry and as a support.
Mm-hmm.
But something that is in his hero pool.
Okay.
As a support. I mean, as a carry. Mm-hmm. And everybody else sort of chooses what they're meant to be, except that there's this random Broodmother in there.
Yeah. I mean, you could do Matthias as Keeper of Light, because it's a heavy, heavy support, but it's heavy support carry.
Like, this is something that he plays as carry, you know, maybe not often, but, like, people know that it's his carry. Like, as opposed to somebody else's. So, like, they're choosing, and so they choose this Broodmother, and they're thinking, okay, that's probably Inej, like, even though it's not really her thing, but, you know, whatever. And then they choose this, like, Keeper of Light or something. And they're like, okay, that's Matthias, and, they choose something that's very Jesper, like very Jesper, and something that's also very Kaz as
yeah.
well. And so then they're like, but wait, who the fuck is the Broodmother?
Yeah.
Because they also choose something, like their last pick is something that's like super in Edge.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. Or maybe their last pick is Jesper or something. Like, I don't know. But everybody's like, but who the fuck is this Broodmother for then?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Broodmother goes to Nina and everybody's like, how the fuck do you play support Brood? Like,
mm-hmm.
okay, I guess. And then she goes down to safe lane, like, so does Matthias, and they just hang out there together. And slowly, everybody realizes that it's Nina getting the farm, not Matthias, even though they do this, like, head game where people think it's her supporting Matthias, but it's actually Matthias supporting her.
Yeah.
And then she just, like, wipes everybody out.
Heck yeah.
Because nobody's expecting it. Like, and nobody's really watching her because she'll, like, wander away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and Matthias will just keep farming the lane and she'll, like, wander into the jungle.
Yeah.
But that's what Nina does.
Yeah.
So nobody's really watching her.
Mm-hmm.
They have too many other things to watch.
Yeah. Like, and they've got Jesper really, like, cleaning up on Brewmaster. And they've got to worry about Kaz out here. God, I don't even know what the fuck he'd be playing. Something. Something very Kaz.
Yeah. And
extremely dangerous.
Yeah, and they have to worry about Inej being, like, hella Inej.
Yeah.
But it's basically Kaz has put all of his eggs in the Broodmother basket of, we are going to distract the fuck out of them so they don't realize that,
mm-hmm.
That Nina is getting literally all the farm the team can possibly give her.
Yeah.
And then she just, like, kills everyone.
Mm-hmm.
At the end. With many, many, many tiny spiders.
Many, many, many.
And it's amazing.
I love that so much.
And I think, oh, right. The last thing, but even though that was a great ending, we need to talk about their screen names. Because Inej is definitely Wraith.
Yeah, Inej is Wraith. Tell, as much as I don't want it to be so, I really need Kaz to be Dirty Hands.
Is to be what?
To be Dirty Hands, which is his moniker.
He's definitely Dirty Hands. Definitely. Yeah. And everybody's like, fuck you, Kaz. And yeah. Most of the time, people just refer to him as Kaz.
Yeah.
Like, when he pops up on screen, like, mm-hmm. you know how, like, No Tail was actually, at least last year, like, it's technically, like, Big Daddy No Tail.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, he's just No Tail on screen. And mm-hmm. how Seb is actually, like, it's, like, fucking Seven or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, he's got his actual name, but he just shows up as Seb.
Yeah.
On the screen. Like, so Kaz walks out and it says Dirty Hands on his jacket, but then he, in the game, it's just Kaz.
Yeah.
And they just refer to him as Kaz. Like, nobody talks about him as Dirty Hands, even though that's his technical,
yeah,
like, handle.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. I feel like Nina's should be what are they called? Not healer.
Hot Render.
Yeah, hers is definitely Heart Render.
Mm-hmm.
Which she just, like, milks.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, gosh, I'm not even sure what I want. Oh, wait. Matthias is being Druskella is kind of incredibly Swedish, I feel.
I also love it. I love it so much.
Yeah. Also, it's Witch Hunter as well, so, you know.
Yeah. Also, oh no. That's also, what? That was his team name.
Oh.
For the team that, like, really never got off the ground.
Yeah.
but he now uses that as his handle.
Yeah. Also, it's, you know, a reminder.
Well, and I feel like it was his handle beforehand, and yeah. the team just liked it enough that they were like, "We're going to use this as our team name," and he's like, "That's awkward, but okay, I'll change my handle for it."
Like, it's awkward, but it's a cool name. I get it.
Yeah. And then the team broke up, and I feel like the team is still, or like the team didn't break up, they kicked him off.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they kept the name, but he also kept his handle, and now yeah. he's much more popular than they are because they're all jerks.
Yeah. Jespa.
I mean, part of me wants to go like sniper, but that's not.
Nah.
No. Though, what did he call... So, first off, what are the, like, metal benders?
Durists.
Okay, so we could go with Durith, or we could go with whatever his mom called them.
I don't know. Hold on.
Because we could go with that. We could also just go with something on the gambling theme, which I feel like is more...
Yeah.
Is actually more him.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we go something with the gambling theme. Also, just a note about Jesper, his dad is super supportive.
Absolutely.
Of the entire team.
Absolutely. Like
it's, I feel like at some point they need like actual adult somebody like who's not a player and who isn't like an adult. And they're like, Jesper's like, I'll call my dad.
Yeah. Okay, so they're called Zoa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you think of something, like, on the gambling theme, though?
Well, my first thought was Kingpin.
He would.
Either Kingpin or High Roller.
Oh, no. Wait. I feel like he names himself Kingpin. And it's just so not true.
He names himself Kingpin and Kaz is just like, if you're going to be on my team, you got to change your fucking name.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Or like he talks about how he wanted to name himself Kingpin. Like.
Yeah.
Or something like how he dreams of the day when he can... You know, reclaim his true name of Kingpin. But yeah, his name is definitely High Roller.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, and everybody's like, Jesper!
Oh my gosh.
It's like, Wylan loser!
Wylan is Merchling.
Yes.
And, yes. And Kuwei, I kind of want him to be either just straight Phoenix, because he just owns that, or Inferni.
I like him being Inferni.
Yeah.
And I feel like him being Inferni, or him being Phoenix, that's a name he takes when he's with the dregs.
Yeah.
Like, he has some other
account. Name.
Yeah, some other account. Before that was his like sort of official account in China.
Yeah.
That he's just like, I'm never touching this again.
Yeah.
And now he's like, now I'm Phoenix. And then it's like, that name is taken.
It's actually really funny because in King of Scars, he actually changes his name to something that means Phoenix. So yeah.
But yeah, that's the crew. And I mean, eventually, obviously, they win TI and Kaz buys out all the rest of Per Haskell's shares in the internet cafes in Australia. And Inej, through her newfound kind of fame, actually finds her parents again. Nina, I feel like, maybe kind of makes up with her parents, but mostly just goes on living her best life after they win TI.
Love that.
And Jesper actually goes back to university.
His father would be so proud.
Only this time he has, like, Kuei as a roommate. And Kuei is, like, so into university.
Oh, he so is.
And Kuei is also so into Jesper. And Jesper is, he is.
He's got the biggest crush.
And Jesper is like, you're 14. Let's not. Like,
you're 14 and this is awkward. I have a boyfriend.
Yeah, let's just like, not. So awkward.
But also, like, while in being oddly threatened, he's just like, no, this is my man.
I feel like Kuei, by the time they're in university together, yeah. Wylan is no longer threatened. It's when they're living all in the same gamer house together. And Kuei just, he's a 14-year-old boy with a massive crush. He has no idea what boundaries are.
Exactly. That's exactly
And it. He just, like, is way too intense and just not really paying attention to Jesper's, like, very gentle, very polite, no, I'm not into this. And he's just like, nope. And then, like, the moment somebody says, like, look, dude, I'm not into this. Not only are you too young, but I am into Wylan and I am not into you. And just, like, back off. And then Kuei is like, oh. And it's awkward for, like, a week.
Sounds like a plan.
And then Kuei catches a glimpse of Nina in, like, her underwear, which is always... Well, no, it's not always skimpy and lacy and whatever, but when she's leaving her door open specifically to hope to embarrass Matthias, then it's definitely skimpy and lacy. And Kuei catches a glimpse of that, and then he's like, well, now, shit, I'm confused.
Honestly, same, buddy.
The funniest thing is that she never catches Matthias.
No.
Like, she catches literally everybody else, and everybody else is like, stop wandering around in your underwear. And Matthias somehow never sees her. Kaz, like, doesn't react. Inej asks her, like, all of, like a bunch of, like, measurement questions about it, because she thinks it's really nice. Wylan goes beet red and just, like, can't look her in the eye for, like, 2 days.
Jesper's just super smirky.
Oh, Jesper, like, flirts with her as she's in the underwear because he knows exactly what she's trying to do. And Matthias goes obliviously on until she does this super modest photo shoot. Anyway.
Oh, poor dear.
Oh, I love this AU.
I know, so do I.
I love it so much because everybody's so happy. Anyway, thank you for listening. That's the end. I think that's all that we have.
It is.
So thanks for listening. You can find this notfic and chat with us about it at AO3. So archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong or...
Or Arkadyevna.
Yeah. So feel free to chat with us if you have feelings, like we obviously do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Thank you.